We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
We're going to continue today in the series, The Parables of Jesus. So Jesus taught these simple stories, right? We call them these earthly stories with great heavenly meaning. And so we've taken some time and we've looked at some of these these parables. And man, I have been studying to preach the word, right? God has shown me so much. With the words that Jesus began to tell in situation after situation, it touched my life. And I hope it's touched your life as well. I hope you're grabbing something from God's word. Today we're going to talk about God's word. We're going to look at the parable of the sower and the seed found in Luke chapter 8. But before we dive into that and begin to read the word, I want us just to kind of recap, because I think I planned this particular message to be the last one before we get into our series on prayer, but it just kind of fell in this way. But if you step back for a second, I think what Jesus is saying as we read this particular parable and this story from the book of Luke, I think what Jesus was trying to say is that He shows us how to place our feet upon the rock. The very first one we preached on launch day, September 7th, we met for the very first time. We looked at the vision of Life Church, what God's called us to do and where we're going, right? We talked about that. And then we looked at the parable of the foundation, the two builders. Jesus tells this parable about two builders. One built his house upon the rock, the other built his house upon the sand. And we looked at that. And then we followed that up with the parable of the lost son, where the son had taken his father's inheritance and had run off and squandered it and lived life vicariously. But he found himself in a situation where he says, I need my father. I need to go back home. Many of us found ourselves at that place at some point of our life where we came back to the Father. And this son comes home and his father was there. The word tells us that every day the father was going out and looking down the road to see if his son was returning. And then there was the older brother who watched all of this happen. And as he watched it, he began to see himself in a different way. He thought he had it all figured out. He sort of resembled the Christian. Those of us who've been saved for a long time, we think we've got it all figured out, right? Is that just me? Or anybody else here? Janet, hey, that's right, that's me. We think we had it all figured out. We become complacent in life. We get what's called the older brother syndrome. And then we looked at who our neighbor is. Who is our neighbor? And if we look at these parables, they really take us down this path, especially as a new church to today's message. Now, let me pause there for a second. In November, we're going to do a series on praying. And I'll begin to think about it and pray about it. Say, Lord, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to approach this prayer? Jesus taught us how to pray. Okay, we don't need to go figure out some formula. Jesus told us, very simple. The disciple says, Lord, I have watched you pray. How should I pray? And he explains it how they should pray. And we know that as the Lord's Prayer. We're going to break that thing down. But I'm also calling us to do this. As I prayed about it, the Lord says, Shannon, he says, don't just teach on prayer. You need to teach it and you need to live it. You need to walk it. You need to put it into application. See, that's what I stand here to do. My job as a pastor and as a teacher and a preacher is to bring to life the Word of God. And I do that by studying His Word and praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me to bring life to the Word. And then it's all of our responsibility to grab that Word and apply it to our life and to live it. So if you're just coming to church on Sunday mornings just to hear a good message or great worship, I mean, we got a great worship team. Worship team, thank you. Right? Thank you for being faithful to come early and set up and lead us in worship. We don't just come here on Sunday morning just to worship and hear something great or hear a good sermon or have some coffee and some muffins after church. We come here to study God's Word, to fellowship with each other, and then apply that Word to our life. That's what we're to do as a church. So we looked at the next parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, who is my neighbor? Because we have got to reach our arms into the community. I'm very repetitive about this. I'll say it every single week until I think we've actually got it. Life Church is different. We're meeting in a school. I'm okay with that. Matter of fact, I'm happy with that. We don't have to worry about a new building where who's going to pick out the color of the paint and the carpet and, you know, what kind of sound system is going to go in there and, you know, who's going to mark the driveway up. I mean, we don't have to worry about any of that right now, do we? What we need to be worried about is, what are we doing when we leave this school? What are we doing when we leave here on Sunday morning? What are we doing Monday through Saturday? That's where our worries and our concerns, not our worries, but our concerns need to be, is about reaching out to the community, to sharing the love of Jesus Christ. So in November, what I'm doing is we're doing a series on prayer. I'm calling you to prayer. Matter of fact, Jason, stand up real quick. Jason says, I believe in that. So on Sunday mornings, before service starts, Jason has found a nook in this room over here somewhere. He's going to be there to pray. So I'm asking you to come. Fellowship a little bit. Go over there. If you feel you want to pray, go over there and pray. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever God leads you to do. Pray that God would show himself in this building. Pray that we would grab the word of God. We're going to talk about that today, to get it into our hearts and then turn around and be like the Good Samaritan and give it back. Show that love. Now, let me tell you how good God is. I haven't even got into the sermon yet. I haven't even got to the introduction yet. Uh-oh. Let me tell you how good God is. See, last week I had to be obedient to what God told me to do. Service was a little bit different last week. At the end of worship, God says, you need to go and you need to ask people if they need a healing in their body. I want to heal them today. Now you say, well, you're playing that, pastor. They did the song Healer and, you know, that's just one of those preacher things. No. I'm not like that. I don't plan that. I don't prepare that. I open my heart and say, God, use me the way you want to use me. Use the people who are here the way you want to use them. Let me tell you what was going on. My feet hurt. My feet hurt all the time. Now, Maria says this because I got a belly, so it's kind of weighing down. No, she didn't. She didn't. Okay. I've got plantar fasciitis in my feet, and when I stand here on Sunday morning, when I'm done, my feet, they kill me. So I was sitting here in worship, and my feet hurt, and I cried. I said, Lord, I need a healing in my body. I need you to heal my feet. I want to stand up there and preach, God. I can't. It hurts. And that's what God said to me. He says, I'll heal your feet. But there's other people here I want to heal as well. How many of you believe God still heals? Every hand should go up, right? Every hand should, I believe God heals. God doesn't change, right? The healing, Jesus didn't come to heal all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, right? And then say, okay, we're done with that now. Just go live life. That's not what he said. He said to his disciples, he says, greater things shall you do than I do because I am sending one. I'm going to the Father and I'm sending one that will give you the power through the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is who he's talking about. So that when you lay hands on the sick, right, and pray the prayer of faith, God says, I will heal them. So I was obedient to what God told me to do. We had a brother come and stand here and says, my feet hurt. He says, I have gout in my feet. I need prayer. I said, oh, great, you. What about me? No, I didn't say that. So I prayed. And this is how I prayed. I said, by your stripes, by the stripes that Jesus took upon his back, he says, I am healed. All I did was pray the truth. I prayed the word of God over him, and I believe that God will heal his feet. Service was over, and I'm standing in the foyer. He walks up and says, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Okay, what's going on? He says, God healed my feet. Okay, right? Awesome. I said, God's faithful, isn't he? God is faithful. He says, no, you don't understand. God healed my feet. I said, I believe you. God, he said, no, tears are rolling down his face. He's weeping. He said, God healed my feet. God still is in the business of healing today. He doesn't change. He says, here's what's miraculous about it, the fact that I went to the doctor and the medication for my feet costs $250 every time I go, and that's after insurance. I can't afford to pay for it. You don't need to pay for it anymore. God's healed your feet. That's an awesome testimony. God's still in the business of being faithful to his word. What we've got to learn to do is get his word in our hearts. So we're going to look at this parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. It's found in the book of Luke. Most of the parables we read have been in the book of Luke. Luke was very detailed in how he wrote what he saw and what he heard. Matter of fact, he wrote the book of Acts as well. So we're going to start in chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, please turn to them. If you got your smartphones, your dumb phones, your blueberries, blackberries, iPhones, 6, 7, 8, whatever you got, You can pull it up on there. We'll have it up here on the screen as well. I would encourage you, right, if you don't have a Bible, please see our team at the end of service. They will give you a Bible. I encourage you to read God's Word. What happens when the batteries go dead in your smartphones? What are you going to do? There's no batteries here. So let's read this together. And when the disciples, starting in verse 4, and when a great crowd was gathered, and the people from town to town came to him and said, and he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow the seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path. Now sowing, anybody know what sowing is? I grew up on a farm. Okay? It's planting, but how is sowing done? How many know what sowing is done? Basically, the farmer takes a big bag of seeds. Right? He throws it over his shoulder, puts it on his arm, and he walks out, he reaches in that bag, and he tosses the seeds out like this. This is called sowing. There was no tractors, he wasn't pulling a plow, he wasn't putting them, you know, 6 inches apart. Okay, that Kevin, they weren't 6 inches apart. They were sown, right? Kevin's a gardener, he knows. It says that some fell along the path and were trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. If you've got your Bibles, underline that word 100-fold. We're going to come back around to that 100-fold in a second. And he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what do you think these ears were? Right? We all have ears, right? What does he mean by that? Is he talking about physical ears? Or is he talking about spiritual ears? Let's think of it just in general. I'm standing here talking to you right now. How many of you have ears to hear? You're hearing, right? Absolutely physical ears. Right? So he's telling them, if you have ears to hear, you hear. So you have to hear what I'm about to say. The part of those, when he begins to explain it later, I mean, he's actually reading this from Isaiah. Isaiah talks about having ears to hear. So then the disciples ask him what the parable meant. Now, I love this, right? Now, most of the time, the disciples would kind of talk among themselves. They try to figure it out, and they pretty much did. But here's one time the disciples come to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, we heard what you said. Now, you're talking about some seed in the ground and thorns and rocks. Now, they says, what does this mean? This is very important for us as we look at this, because for them to add, only twice have we seen in God's Word that they asked. Right, so they're wanting to grab this. They believe there's something important. We're not quite grabbing it, God, Jesus, so what are you saying? So the disciples ask him what this meant. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those, when they have heard the word, they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So you're probably asking yourself now, as we read that, right, which one am I? You're probably saying, hey, I'm one of these. Which one am I? How many of you probably are thinking, hey, that's me, the one, the noble heart there, the honest heart, that's me. If you're saying to yourself right now, right, self, I believe that that is me. I'm willing to get it. If that's you, then you probably are suffering from the older brother syndrome. Well, Pastor, that's pretty tough now. You don't know my heart. Listen, I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking for me. As I look at this, where is my heart? Which one of these am I? You see, I want us to take a look at what God's Word is. And I want us to read a scripture, two scriptures, one from the New Testament and another one from the Old Testament, because I believe that the Word of God has the ability to change us from the inside out. I know there's a song that Hillsong does, you know, from the inside out. Change me from the inside out. How many of you want to be changed from the inside out? Three of you. Awesome. The rest of you, I want you to get the CD afterward and listen to it again because I think it's going to touch your heart. Everybody does, right? How many want to be changed from the inside out? Come on, talk back to me. Me, Pastor, that's me. So let's look at two scriptures. Let's start in Isaiah because this is going to lay the foundation. Remember the parable says that my feet need to be planted. We need to build our house on the rock, the foundation, the Word of God. I want us to look in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 55, verses 8. So we're going to go through the Bible a little bit today. Are you ready? Let's look at what God, we're talking about God's Word. Let's look at God's Word. Because I believe that the power of God, the power of the Word of God has the ability to change us, right? We saw someone healed and He can change us from the inside out. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Let's read this together. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth. Now listen, the words rain and snow are very important. Because we see this, as we begin to look at this parable, we're going to see the moisture, the rain, the snow. Anytime we see this in God's Word, the rain, the snow, the moisture, this is God's Word in our life. It says, comes down from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. You see, the Word of God, as we see here, the Word of God is like rain. It's like snow. It's like moisture that moistures and waters the seeds of our heart. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Another scripture about the Word of God. For the Word of God is living. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing in the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You see, church, the Word has the ability to go to the very core of who we are. It can change the way we think. It can change the way we our thought process. It will change our lives dramatically. Well, Pastor, I don't know if my life needs to be changed. Oh, it does need to be changed. We all need to be changed. We live in an imperfect world. We live in a world that challenges us in every way. And God's Word has a way to come into us, into our hearts, and change us from the inside out so that we have the strength to pursue the lost. So that we have the strength to do the work that God's called us to do. Now, as we look at this parable, I think Jesus breaks it down this way. There are four types of people, four types of heart the Lord's talking about. Now, when I read this, and I've read this parable time and time again, I kind of visualize. How many of you visualize and see things? I'm a visual person. I kind of have this visual to see. And it's like four different people that these different grounds are four different people in stages of their life where they're receiving. Maybe they heard the word for the first time, or maybe they heard it for the second time or third. I think there's another part of this too, because I begin to examine my heart. I begin to examine my life as I read this parable. Not only do I believe that there are four different types of people that Jesus is talking about, but I think He's talking about us in the different seasons of our life. How many times have we gone through seasons of our life where I've heard this statement many times, I feel dry. I feel spiritually dry. How many of you felt that way, right? I have many times. Or I just feel like, hey, I heard that word, but I got so caught up in the world. I got so caught up and so busy with work and with sports and fantasy football. And I like fantasy football, by the way. I can't play it, but I can actually pick my team. So, but so caught up that I just feel dry. I believe that we all go through these times in our life. There are seasons in our life that we go through each one of these. And Jesus, He says, hey, there's four types of season. There's four types of hearts, and He begins to explain what they are. And the first one is the unprotected heart. We read this in the scripture. It says, some fell along the path and was trampled under feet, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now here, when we see this, the word birds, he explains what it is later on when he explained it to his disciples. He said, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil, he comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. You see, the birds here, the birds, when we see birds like this, the ravens, the vultures, right? They're sort of, they're resemble an example of the devil, of the enemy who wants to come and to steal. See, God wants the word down into our hearts so it can change us, but the enemy doesn't want it there. He wants to steal it from us. How many of you have been through that stage of your life? I've been there. I know what it's like to walk and have the word presented and then the enemy come through in some way and just snatch it away. My son James, let me tell you this story. He's in the fourth grade. He's doing real good with his reading, right? So he has to read. So he's always picking different books to read, and he's reading like these Star Wars books and adventure books. And as I began to this week, it was funny, as I began to study the scripture, he became intrigued because he saw me reading the Bible there at the table because I worked from home some this week. And so he says, Daddy, I need a Bible. I don't want that little baby Bible with the pictures in it anymore. I need a big boy Bible. Okay. He said, can I use your Bible? Oh, yeah, here you go. Right. So we're driving in the car, and he's back there reading, and he's asking me question after question after question, and it's just amazing. Now, we have prayer time. We talk about the Word. But it's amazing to me how he sees our life and what we do for God. And all of a sudden, now he wants it. And he's reading. And he goes to school and writes a report on what he read. Now, I was a little bit nervous. Now, he's going to turn in a paper on Genesis. So he turns in his paper. He gets a good grade on it. Teacher corrected a few things. He does it the next day. He reads. He writes a little thing. Sends it back in. And he gets a comment. Well, what does it mean, favor of the Lord? The teacher asks him. What's it mean, favor of God? So we're looking it up. And then he says this to me. This is where this unprotected heart became alive. He says, Daddy, he said, when they started passing the papers out, I got nervous. Why? Because I knew that my friends would see my paper about the Bible and they were going to make fun of me. I said, really? He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry. You see, you know what's happening there? His little heart has been opened up to the Word. Now, what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to steal it. Let me pause here for a second. Parents, pray over your kids. Pray for their little hearts. Pray that as the word you begin to speak and you begin to share and that they begin to look into is protecting their hearts. Pray that the Lord would protect their hearts and protect the word that's in their heart because the world wants to snatch it out. The birds want to come down and pluck it out. So parents, pray for them. It doesn't matter if they're like 18, 19 years old. You still pray because what's going to happen is one day in life, they're going to find themselves walking in the world and they're not going to have mommy and daddy behind them anymore and they're going to have to make decisions. And if the word is in their heart, it's going to begin to come out and they're going to make good decisions in life because our world is messed up. You hear me? I'm not saying that to scare you, but the world is messed up. The enemy's agenda has gotten into our world and into our government and into our schools. I pray for this high school every single day, just by us being here, that we pray over these walls. The second heart is the immature heart. The scripture says, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they have heard the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Do you notice that there's the absence of moisture? There's no moisture. We just read in Isaiah that the word of God, his presence is like the rain and the snow and the moisture. See, Jesus says four things about this group. The first thing he says is, hey, you've heard the word. These hearts have heard the word. They've received it with joy. They're excited about it. How many of you get excited about God's word? I do. You do. They believe it for a while, but they fall away when testing comes. So I began to think about that. This whole moisture, this water thing, this is in my head. A brother shared this with me, and we've talked about it and prayed about it. How many of you know what a flash flood is? Because sometimes I think the church today, they pray, they say, Lord, send your flood down, God. Send your flood down upon me. I want the flood to come and just flood my heart. Show this picture up here. Next slide. Not that one before that one. Should be one before. There we go. Okay. So here's a picture of a flash flood in the desert. How much vegetation is around that? None. Because you know what happens with a flash flood? The rains fall. They fall hard. Right? And then they wash down. Whew, and taking everything with it. And what's left? Nothing. See, I used to be like this. Lord, send the flood. Flood my heart with your word. Flood me, Lord. Flood me, Lord. Go to the next picture. And here's a rainforest. And the rainforest, even though it covers only about 6 or 7% of the earth, it gets over 100 inches of rainfall a year. 100 inches. It rains almost every single day. And it's not a flash flood. It's a steady rain. My prayer is that not so much, yeah, we want God to flood our hearts and be flooded with joy. But when it comes to His Word in our hearts, I pray for the rain and the moisture to come down every single day. That gentle rain of God's Word to fall down upon our hearts so that the seed will take root in our hearts and begin to grow. See, God's talking about immaturity, that immature heart. I want it. Give it to me, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. And then all of a sudden, trials come along. And guess what? They're running. The heart is running because the world begins to come in and sneak in there. The third heart is the distracted heart. Jesus says this. He says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, this is what this means. As for what fell among the thorns, these are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. See, these folks, they hear the word. These hearts receive the word. And then life happens. One of the most tragic things that I watch as a pastor over 25 years of being in ministry are those people who come. They worship. They hear the word of God. And they get it down into their heart at that moment. And they're excited about living for Jesus. And they walk out that door into the world, and all of a sudden life happens. Jesus says there's two things. In that scripture, there's two things that distract us. He says this. It's great success or it's great failure. So his word says. The pleasures or the worries. See, he says in his word there, he says, the riches, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. You see, the riches and pleasures have to do with success. The cares and the worries have to do with failure. How many of us have gone through failure in life? I think we all have. I have many times. Now, I believe, this is my opinion, it is harder for us to recover from success in life when our heart is not grounded upon God's word than it is when we go through the failures of life. Because when we're going as a Christian and we go through the failures of life, what do we normally do? We call out to God, right? We call out to Him to redeem us, to come and protect us, to come and take us out of those worries, of those failures in life. But sometimes our hearts get so taken by that failure that we don't go to God. We try to look for it in other places. But those who are successful, when great success comes upon us, and we talked about that last week. Remember that parable? We talked about what do we do with abundance? We talked about finances. We talked about the abundance that God gives us, the pleasures of the world. What do we do with that abundance? Sometimes when we are not willing and able to say, God, you've given me a great success. You've given me abundance. It's yours. I'm only a steward. Tell me what to do with it. What happens is like this rich fool. I believe he could be talking about this. This is the precursor to that particular parable. Because the successes, the pleasures of life and the success comes, next thing you know, you don't need God anymore. Because you've been able to do it yourself. And that's the attitude sometimes of that heart. We don't want that heart. The fourth heart that Jesus is talking about, he says, is the noble, honest heart. He says, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Remember I told you to underline that. As for that, in the good soil, Jesus tells his disciples, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The NIV says perseverance. Now, this 100-fold thing, let me tell you what this 100-fold is all about. All right, I grew up in the South where agriculture was big. I don't think there has ever been or seen a crop that yielded 100 times what it was planted. Especially during this time, because they didn't have all the agricultural technologies and the pesticides and the fertilizers and the big tractors. They didn't have this. They were sowing the seed, right? So they're sowing the seed out on the ground. A bumper crop during this time would be 15, 20% maybe. That'd be the yield of a lifetime. So when Jesus says to them, he says, you will yield 100-fold of what you have planted, it shocked the world. They shocked them. What do you mean 100-fold? 100-fold of what? Lord, what are you going to give me 100-fold of? What is it? Here's what I believe it is. It's an abundance of anything you need when you go through any situation in life. Because we're talking about the Word of God. See, Jesus says three things about the noble heart. They hear the Word. They retain the word, and with patience and persevering, they produce a crop. So, if you were a farmer, and you were planting your crop, and you were throwing your seed on the ground, and you were sowing, which one of these would you want to be? What heart would you want to be today? Well, Pastor, I want to be the one that's 100-fold. Why? Why 100-fold? There's two reasons. I believe why. Number one, so that you're being pleasing to God. You're getting His Word into your heart. And when your Word gets into His Word gets into your heart, then you're able to live life. You're able to do what God's called you to do. Live the life God wants you to live. To speak the truth the way He wants you to. So which heart are we today? You know, smartphones, Bibles. Let me just encourage you real quick. Begin to memorize. I looked at this verse. The noble, the honest heart that bears fruit with patience and perseverance. I think there's a lost art of memorizing Scripture. I'm guilty, right? I fumble my words when I'm even reading the Bible. You guys know that. You've heard me read it. I want to encourage you every day to read God's Word, begin to memorize the Scripture in your heart. Because when we get God's Word into our heart, what's going to come forth? When you find yourself in a situation and you need to call upon God, His Word is in your heart. You can begin to go back and say those Scriptures, and all of a sudden, those who have ears, let them hear. As you begin to say it and speak it, it falls upon your ears, right? Your physical ears. And then it gets into those physical ears, to your spiritual ears, and becomes into you and gives you what you need. It's God in you. If you want to know God, I wake up every day, God, I want to know you more today. He says, if you want to know me, then know my word. If you want to know God's word, and if you do know him, you'll know who he is. Because in John, it says very clearly in John, that God in Jesus is the word given to us. I can't write prescriptions for you through life to deal with situations, but the word has already been given. So here's what I'm going to do today. We're going to end a little bit differently today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over you, because we're going next week, we're going to talk about prayer. The parable of the persistent widow and the friend and their persistence. And their persistence led them to getting what they wanted or what they needed, let's put it that way. So we're going to talk about prayer. So how fitting is it today for me to take this moment and pray? But I didn't write a prayer out. I'm not going to make up a prayer. I'm just going to pray the Word of God over you. Now, the Scripture that I'm going to read is from Ephesians chapter 3. And church, when I stand here and preach God's word, I'm preaching to myself first. So when I go through situations and I go through life in my heart, I have found myself in my history of a Christian at every one of those moments with God's word in my life. And this is what I've learned to do. I've learned to pray God's word over me and my family and over this church. So what I'm going to ask you to do, this challenge for you this week, is every morning when you wake up, you get God's word. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to pray this over you. And we're going to be dismissed today. So what I want you to do now is just close your eyes. I want you to hear God's word prayed over you. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. That's our worship. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, they may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.